Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a pastor in the Fort Worth area. His name is David Daniels, and he's written a new book called Next Step Discipleship. The subtitle is The Christian's Handbook to Walking the Pathway to Missional Living. Reverend Daniels, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for the privilege. It's good to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. So why don't you tell us what this book is all about, Next Step Discipleship.
Yes, well, this book grew out of a vision that we had to train pastors around the world. We spend time with pastors in India and Africa and Cuba and various other places. And so we wanted to give these pastors a narrative that would help them do church better. You know, pastors all around the world have very few resources. And so we wanted to put a resource in their hand that would teach them some fundamental steps of doing church. And after that book was written and began to be translated into a variety of languages, it occurred to me that if we edited that book and made it for, you know, an average American audience, that it would really help a Christian be able to take some definitive steps in their walk with Jesus Christ. And so this is a book about discipleship, and it takes the believer from a person from what it means to belong to Jesus Christ and biblical community to the next step. What does it mean to have your life transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? To a final step, what does it mean to give your life away for the purposes of God, both in your church and your community and around the world?
Well, somebody once said about the church in America that it's a mile wide but an inch deep. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably an accurate statement. I think that the church has, in most ways, has been making converts, has focused their attention on making converts, when Jesus's, you know, call was really for us to make disciples. And disciples are mature and maturing apprentices of Jesus.
Can you talk closer into your phone, please? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that sounds better.
A disciple is a mature and maturing follower of Jesus. And so they are ever moving along by the power of the Holy Spirit to know Jesus Christ and to have the life of Jesus manifested in them. And so if churches are simply bringing people into worship services and kind of sending them back out into the workspace and the marketplace during the week, and next week we lather, rinse, and repeat, and we kind of just do the same things over and over again, I think that we miss the opportunity to take people really deeper in their life with Jesus Christ.
Well, so in a sense, what you're kind of getting at to this, you know, maybe to some degree, is the idea that, okay, we worship Jesus on Sunday mornings, let's say at 11 o'clock or whatever, and then the rest of the week has nothing to do with our relationship with him. I remember talking one time. It was at an elders conference of elders, Presbyterian elders or whatever. I'm not going to name the specific denomination. But I was talking with this one fellow who was actually working at a major mutual fund. And I said, oh, it's so wonderful to know there's a Christian brother working at a major mutual fund, you know. And I said, are you able to kind of say, hey, let's steer away from these investments in pornography or tobacco or, you know, things that are just deleterious,
right,
certainly from a Christian perspective. And he said, oh, no. He said, my faith has nothing to do with my job. And I thought, you know what? That's the problem in modern Christianity, right in that statement.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I heard of something similar. Last year I was listening to a university president of a university that will go unnamed. And he said, I am a devout Christian, but I do not let my faith interfere with the decisions that I have to make on a pluralistic campus. And while I appreciate that, you know, whether you're president of a university or president of the United States, you do have to take all of the people into account. I believe if we are a disciple of Jesus, it should inform every aspect of our lives. It should inform the way we love our neighbors that live on either side of us in our neighborhoods, and how we conduct ourselves in the marketplace, and what does it look like to be a student at school. I think it really should inform every aspect of our lives.
Well, let me ask you, in your own personal journey, I mean, I've never talked with you before or whatever, tell us a little about your own particular background. Did you always, as a Christian, always believe this, or was there something that you kind of had an aha moment or a breakthrough? And give us a story.
You know, I think the Lord, for the, you know, the 25 years, almost 30 years since I came to know the Lord personally, the Lord has been really impressing on me the urgency of the gospel in the days that we live. We live in serious times, and I think the older I get in my walk with Jesus, the more important it becomes for me, because it's always been this way in the heart of God, but how it has become, I'm more and more aware how important it is for me, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian, to live my faith in every dimension of life. I came to know Jesus Christ when I was 17 years old. I grew up in a religious family, but a family that didn't know the Lord. And it was through an incredible conversation that I had with my best friend that he helped me to see my deep need for the Lord Jesus. I came to know the Lord. I attended the university expecting that I would go into graphic design and advertising. And just through some mentorship and some real excellent discipleship early in my life, I began to see that the Christian life is more than just being a convert, just going to church and having church friends. And I think that journey now over the last 25 to 30 years and things that my wife and I and my family do as believers has helped me to just really sense the gravity of that in the spiritual life.
Hmm. Okay, now walk us through the content of this book, the overall aspect of the book. You talk about, for example, belong to Christ, belong to community, belong to church. You talk about becoming, yeah. You're talking about transformation, and then you talk about beyond. So go ahead and wax eloquent. That's right. On the contents of the book.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. You know, this book really, the pathway, the what we call the spiritual pathway or spiritual life way that you've just spoken of, came to us in our church as our ministry staff sat together probably 7 or 8 years ago, and we begin to ask this question. If you grabbed the average Christian in a church this Sunday and you asked them, where are you in your spiritual life? I think far too many Christians would say, well, I'm right here. I don't know what you mean. I'm in church. That's where I'm at. They would have no idea.
Would they imply that they're doing well or they're doing okay?
They might say, I think they might say, well, I'm in church, so I guess I'm all right, right? I mean, I'm not even sure how to answer that question. And if you changed questions and said, well, let me just ask you a different question. Where are you going in your spiritual life? I think a great number of Christians, the destination in their spiritual life is heaven. One day I die and I get to go be with Jesus. And while that is a glorious and wonderful hope for the Christian, I think that Jesus intended for his disciples something more than you're converted and you wait until the day that you die to go be with God. There is all of life in between that Jesus intends to use for his purposes. And so when we talk about the spiritual pathway, or the spiritual life way, we say to the Christian, we want to help you make progress and to know where you are, to look back and see where you've been, and to really have a destination of how and to cooperate with God and His Holy Spirit of how God might use you in a significant and radical way in your life.
Hmm.
So we say the spiritual pathway really has three very simple steps. The first step is to belong, and so the life with God begins by belonging to Jesus Christ. You move along the pathway as you belong to biblical community and a group of believers that are more than just church friends. They really are people you're doing life together with. And it also includes belonging to a church, which is more than just, this is the church I attend. Rather, this is the church that I'm doing mission with. I'm going with my church. This is my church. And I think it's significant when a Christian gets to the place where they can say, you know, not so much this is the church I attend, but this is really my church. Hmm. So that's the first step, is belong.
And if I could just stop you real fast, as far as the church, belonging to a church is very important, because I've seen this phenomenon sometimes where people will visit so many churches, but they never settle down, and so they're never really accountable either to any person
that's
or
right.
congregation.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, when, you know, we talk about membership, people ask, well, what are the privileges of membership? Well, the privileges of membership are not so much what I get out of church, because a lot of people can do a lot of things and enjoy a lot of the benefits of church without ever becoming members. Membership is more about the kind of commitment that I'm personally wanting to make to my church so that the purpose of the church is fulfilled and so that I grow in the greatest way possible in my spiritual life. And what that probably means, as you just said, it means that I'm going to be willing to be held accountable, that it means that I'm going to commit myself generously to the purposes of my church that I go to. It means that I am going to pursue unity. You know, one of the things that we've been going through in our church is we are a particular church that's very committed to helping the refugee, and that's been an interesting topic for churches recently.
Yeah.
And I was interviewed for a newspaper who asked, well, does everybody in the church, in your church, agree with a stance on refugees like you do? And I said, no, not everybody agrees with the same position that I hold. We all have different convictions. And then they asked the question, so what do those people do? And I said, you know, what's been remarkable in our church is that though there has been disagreement and diversity on that particular conviction, we're all moving together in unity. And I think that demonstrates a high view of church.
Hmm.
If I only have a church that is the church I go to, then as you just said, I'll leave when I don't like the music, suddenly the preaching gets boring, I decide I don't like a particular position, I'll move on to another church. But when you attend a church and you say, this is my church, these are my people, then you're able to tolerate much more diversity, which I think is really helpful in the body of Christ.
Yeah, and then maybe they can help remove some of the rough edges in your life and vice versa.
Right.
Iron sharpens iron. Oh, okay.
That's
now,
exactly right. Yeah.
You talk about missional living. That's even in the subtitle of your book. What does that mean and what does that look like?
You know, I think missional living is a disciple of Jesus who views their life being used for the purposes of God. That means instead of looking at my life as this division between the sacred and the secular. The sacred is what I do on Sunday. I worship. I might have a Bible study I go to Wednesday night, but it doesn't impact any other part of my life. A missional disciple sees that all of life is integrated and all of life is lived under the banner of the glory of God and for his purposes. And so a missional disciple is constantly asking the question, God, how do you want to use me today for your purposes and for your glory? And so my goal in the book, which I don't think is unique, I think it's actually the goal of Scripture, is to take God's people wherever they're at, whatever kind of job they have, if they go to school, if they're a teacher, if they're a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is that they have, they're asking the question, how do I make God known by making disciples who are changed by God to change the world?
Hmm.
And so the book moves from belong. The next step in the pathway is become. It's important that our lives be changed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then those that God changes, he doesn't change people just so that they're better people. He changes people so that he might use them to change the world.
So in one sense, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, in one sense, the summary of your book then could be kind of like stop the compartmentalizing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was reading a book. I was working on my doctoral studies, and there was a book that was given to me by the professor of this class, and it was a book that I really wasn't interested in reading. I remember reading through the book in the first half. I was very dismissive of the book. It wasn't a very exciting book. But then I got halfway through the book, and the author of this book made a statement in the middle of the book that is one of those set you back on your heels,
yeah,
totally change your perspective kind of statement. He said this. He said, for many Christians, the end of discipleship is discipleship, when in the mind of God, the end of discipleship has always been mission.
Mm.
Now, if you think about that for a minute, he said, for many Christians, the reason they go to church, and for that purpose, the reason that many churches do church, is simply to make better Christians. So he said, if you listen to it, many of the sermons you listen to are, you know, This is how to be a better husband, how to be a better mother, how to be a better driver, be a better boss, be a better giver. This just, God just wants you to be better. When the author said, no, 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 God's purpose was never just to make people better. His purpose was to take better people or changed people and use them in his missional purposes, which has been at work all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Before that, he's been changing people and inviting them to join him in this mission in the world, which is different than, let's go to Africa on missions, this global mission to lift up the Savior Jesus Christ so that people everywhere will come to know him.
Hmm. And on that note, we'll have to end. This is David Daniels we've been talking with. The name of his book is Next Step Discipleship. And for more information, nextstepdisciple.org. Thank you. Thank you,
thank you,
David,
so much
for being with us.
Great to be with you today.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.